to the mic.
Hey, top of the morning to you people. You are welcome into worship. Cafe au lait, latte, da. You raise your hands, but I do not. You can run across the park. I'll give you the gospel of St. Mark. Hits me like a wake-up bomb, because we all know that God's mercy flows in the morning.
Wake up to a brand new day.
Good morning.
Stepping, stepping, stepping on my way.
Good morning.
Give me strength, you give me just what I need.
I can feel the hope that's rising in me. Good morning.
Wake up to a brand new day.
This morning.
I'm stepping, stepping, stepping on my way.
Good morning.
You give me strength, you give me just what I need.
I can feel the hope that's rising in me. Good morning.
Oh, 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 oh.
Amen.
Now, if you think being in the music program doesn't stretch you, you ask Kevin Klar. It'll make a rapper out of you in ways you never imagined. Good morning, God. We just thank you for all the ways in which you wake us up. Be with us in this place, in this time of worship. Remind us that you have called us to use our imagination. You have called us to stretch. You have called us into this place. Meet us in the places of our heart's longing. Meet us in this place. In Christ's name. Amen. I know without a doubt that when Kevin Klar walked into this church a few years ago and said, I don't know why, but Spirit has guided me here and this is the place I'm supposed to be, rapping was not a part of his idea of why God was calling him here. But Kevin heard the opportunity. It was as if Jesus put his fingers in his ears and said, Ephatha, be open. And here he is on the top rap charts of MCC Tampa. By the time we get to Mark 7, Jesus is well into his ministry, and he is well known in many regions in this area of antiquity in Israel. Jesus comes to this place in Tyre, and he tries to slip in. You ever tried to just kind of slip in someplace hoping nobody will know you? Nobody will see ya. Anybody? And he slips in and he's just hoping, maybe this will be the town where I have a little vacation, sip a little communion, enjoy my peeps. Oh no. The word is out. And he is approached by one of the greatest challenges of his ministry. You see, until this moment, Jesus clearly understood that his mission and his ministry were to the children of Israel, his people, people of Judaism. And in Judaism, there was really clear lines around who you could hang with and who you couldn't. You know, the bad crowd? Well, people who were Gentiles were considered that. And almost every place in the New Testament where a Gentile is mentioned, they are only mentioned from the region or city they come from. They are never named. In this scripture, we have just that case. A woman from Syrophoenicia came to Jesus and begged him to heal her daughter. Now, in antiquity, most illness was understood as something that was a demon possession type illness, because they didn't understand illness as we understand it today. She said to Jesus, "Please, please, please come heal my child." Jesus, really clear about his mission, really clear about who he is to minister to, looks at her and says, "Woman, woman, first let the children eat all they want. For it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." Now, for those of you who don't know what that means, The children of Israel did not appreciate Gentiles and considered them animals. Dogs. Did you know that? How many of you knew that? I didn't know that till I started studying this scripture. This caused me pause, because the Jesus I always knew was perfect, right? Loved perfect, lived perfect. He was fully human in his container, but fully divine in his behavior. And yet, in this scripture, he is dismissing a woman, not only dismissing her, but calling her a dog. I love this scripture. I love it because it says to us, you can be fully human and fully divine and fully wrong. The invitation is what you do with the wrong. Right? The formula for cleaning up, for the do-over, is to recognize, have regret, have remorse, and repair, right? So what does Jesus do? He has an aha moment. He's like, oh, well, wait a minute. Wouldn't you just love to be in his mind in that moment? When this woman just challenges every ounce of his understanding of who your neighbor is? There's a pause. And then he says, in his own way, he doesn't say, oh yeah, you're right, I really screwed this one up. No. He says, your daughter is healed. Your daughter is well. I love this scripture because it says to us, you're going to mess up. How many of you know yourselves to be like fully human and need do-overs in your life? I mean, that's part of the good news here. It takes us to a place where full repentance is welcome. And then it says, this is the rest of the story. You see, Jesus does not just heal her daughter. Jesus' whole ministry, his whole experience shifts. He's now realizing that his ministry is not just to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, the Israelites. His ministry extends beyond who he first imagined he was there to touch. He was there to welcome. He was there to communicate God's love. It goes beyond his vision. See, I think when we're really walking this journey and we're open to seeing through God's eyes, through that place of being fully divine, how many did you know you were fully divine? I'll wait. Oh, thank you. Fully divine does not mean fully perfect. In fact, perfect's got a bad rap. We think perfect is doing nothing wrong. Perfect is actually noticing you could do something different and doing it. Hello. Jesus very clearly acknowledged the woman when she said, "Even the dogs under the table deserve the crumbs." Even those on the outside of Jesus' ministry deserved all Jesus offered. There's a message in that for any community who's been told you don't deserve God's unconditional love. You deserve it as much as anybody else. How often do we claim that? How often do we wrap ourselves around that? Jesus in his ministry moved on. He continued on touching hearts and lives and came to a place where there was a man deaf at birth. He was invited to heal this man. Now, I think he was growing into his new opportunity. I don't think he had it down pat yet. I don't think he was completely comfortable reaching out and touching hearts and lives beyond his comfort zone. Because look at what he does here. He takes the man away from the crowd. Aside. It's just him and the man. Now, I don't know about you. There's been a couple times when Jesus has done this. He's used his spit as a part of the healing. If he spit on his fingers and touched my tongue, that'd be the last time he does that. But in the scripture, that's a part of the wholeness here. That's a part of the opportunity. He spits and touches his tongue, and he puts his fingers in his ears, and he says, "Ephatha, be open. Be open." If God was calling you to stretch out and learn a rap in a microphone, during worship, would you say, "I'll try it"? Or would you say, "Oh, no, that's not my gift. I'm not going to do, I don't like microphones. I have no rhythm. I don't rap. I don't even like rap. It's just not my thing. In fact, I'm not even coming back to this church. You have really pushed every button in my body." Not an option. Just saying. To come to a place that Jesus came to meant that he had to recognize he had a prejudice. He had to have regret about that prejudice. He had to show remorse in his action, in his word, in his deed. And then he had to begin to repair it by spreading out and stretching his own imagination of what his ministry was and what he was called to and who he was called to serve. And I'm wondering if we're being challenged to do the same thing. Who are we being called to serve? Mary Oliver, an amazing poet, says in this piece of poetry, "You do not have to be good got your attention? Sometimes that goal gets us in the way of being fully divine, my friends. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about your despair, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscape. In fact, the rain is stuck in this landscape. It's moving over the prairies and the deep trees and the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese high in the clear blue air are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers you itself to your imagination. Think about that invitation. It's wide open opportunity. Wide open. It's calling to you like the wild geese are called, harsh and exciting, over and over announcing your place in the family of all that is. What a gift to us to find out that being fully human and fully divine means that we get to be fully alive. We get the opportunity for do-overs because that's the part of who we are in the image of God, to make our difference in the world. Now, let me just tell you, I'm here to say that's the harder work. It's much easier to invest ourselves in the work of perfection than it is into the work of being fully human and fully divine. Hello. How many of you have well-rehearsed tapes about mess-ups? Maybe there was some domineering person in your life who expected things from you that were unachievable for any human being. Anybody? Yeah. And so what do? We spend our whole lives trying to satisfy that one person, ignoring that maybe that part of who you are, God called you to be. To be fully human and fully divine means we get to learn from our mess-ups and incorporate them into our calling. What is your calling? What are you called to do? How do you love? How do you share that love? And who is it that are the dogs in your life? Come on. Come on. We all got dogs in our lives, those that we just don't want to have anything to do with, dismiss, aren't even sure they deserve the crumbs under the table. I know I'm getting a little close here to that edge, but I believe that's what the gospel invites us to do. Who are we as MCC Tampa? Who do we long to reach? We started out a church community that couldn't have what we have today. Now we have it, and we take it or leave it. What's our charge? What's our mission? Who are we called to stretch out of our comfort zone and reach out to? Is it people who look like us? Or do we care if they look like us and just care that they are people who long to know what we already know? See, Jesus knew the good news. He just didn't know it was for everyone until this moment when his worldview was opened up. Oh my goodness, it's even for the Gentiles? Are we not here because we are dogs to someone else? And I don't just mean gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender folk who are automatically put on the margins. I'm talking too about our straight allies who say, I don't fit that. That's not me. I'm part of the we. We are called to stretch beyond our comfort zone, to see beyond the world that comes here freely. How is it we are charged to spread the good news, and who do we spread it to? Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers you itself, your imagination, calling to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over announcing your place and the family of God, your place in the family of all things, your place, your work, your stretch, your opportunity, your grace, your calling. Will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks and praise for the ways in which we continue to be stretched by the gospel, Jesus Christ, and his challenge and his struggle and his mission and how that mission informs our own. Help us to continue to see ourselves, God, fully human and fully divine. And in that place, see the world we meet through those eyes. In all that is sacred and holy, we offer this. Amen.